do. I wanna be a friend, go shopping in a Benz. I like you, I do. I hit you in a lane, can you fit me in your plans? I like you.
The fourth hour first stop continues here on TSS 1050. Korolnik and Koliakovo with you. I did overdrive last night. Had the good fortune of speaking with James Duthie for a couple of minutes. James, I think, was upset that the O-Dog claimed that he shot 122 at a golf course in Edmonton, so James felt it necessary to defend himself, which is totally legitimate.
He shot 122?
Well, no, that's the thing. O-Dog exaggerated JD's poor performance, and, you know, James probably...
What did he end up shooting?
You know, let's bring him on, and we can relitigate this whole situation once again, James, for a different audience. Good morning, James. How are you?
What's up, JD?
Why would you, like, not have me on all summer, and then when I play my worst round of the summer, you have me on twice in 24 hours, AK?
It's a good question.
Why would you do that?
You know what? I don't make the guest booking decisions on this program anymore. At one point, I did, but that is no longer. You can blame a Rod.
When you say the worst round, like, how bad are we talking, JD?
Well, I was bad, Carlo.
Did you hit the century point?
No. I think it was when I plugged it into the Golf Canada, it was 93. But I think I might have got a couple of those. Like they, took a couple off
because you're handicapped. They can't give you
too many
strokes.
You put in an 8 and it comes out as a 7 or something like that. So it might have been 94, 95, but it was ugly.
Wow.
The front nine was actually fine. I think I opened triple on the back.
Oof. Wow.
What is going to be worse, James, your performance on the golf course or Switzerland's performance against Canada tonight?
that's probably accurate. The one thing about the Swiss, you know, we always say this when we're doing Swiss games, they have this historical habit of playing really tight games against good teams and pulling off the old upset, I think. Back in the days of Nino Niederreiter, I think they upset the Russians or wherever the heck that was. I lose track of my tournaments. That might have been way back in Saskatoon or something. But it hasn't really been this way in this tournament. The beginning of the tournament, they had they lived up to their name early on in against Sweden. I think lost 3-2 in Sweden's first game of the tournament. I said, okay, this is the way the Swiss is going to be, but they haven't looked good since then. Mm-hmm. And this should be no contest. I mean, it should be 6-1 or something for Canada.
Wow, you hit the spread right on the nose because FanDuel has Canada minus 20,000 to win. That's at a ridiculous line, but their spread on the line is 5.5.
Yeah, I'd say something like that probably. But again, like you can always say you never know at the World Juniors. There's usually this is not scientific. This is just completely from my general memories of doing these for 20 years, is that there's usually one goofy quarterfinal where something, you know, either there's an upset or there's a game that's really close. I'm not sure that'll be the case this year simply because the losing Russia is a tough thing, even though it was the right thing, maybe with the war, it's a tough thing from a competitive standpoint because, mm-hmm. you know, there's five clear world powers. And when you have the fifth one, that means when the quarterfinals come of a World Juniors, you're going to have two of them having to play against each other, right? And that's why the preliminary round usually matters, is because somebody's going to get upset or something in the preliminary round, and then you're going to end up having a, you know, a Canada-Russia quarter or a Finland-Sweden quarter. And that's always, you know, the death quarter to be in. But because the Russians aren't here, there's four clear better teams in Sweden, Finland, Canada, and the U.S. So there's a chance today that all four quarterfinals just are lopsided. But who knows? You know, maybe Latvia or Czechia or somebody will come up with a game again because if it's all 6-7-1, then I'll feel like, well, why did we even do the quarters? Why didn't we jump right to the semis, right?
Right. Well, hey, Latvia's been a great story. I mean, the World Juniors against Czechia, to put them into the 3 seed, wow, that had to be a gift for the number 2 seed on the other side. But, you know, considering how they celebrated and, you know, the feeling around that team, Who do you think celebrated harder, Team Latvia with their win or Team TSN with Bobby Mack's birthday yesterday?
Well, That's a close call. The Bobby Mack birthday celebration, that was an all-day festival. And I kind of feel like we're dating now because I spent the entire day with him. you know, golf course, then, you know, company barbecue later.
Bobby
we
Margaritas.
Went out for a little Italian, like just the two of us at a little, you know, quiet table. It was quite romantic, the entire thing. So I felt like I was very special to be Bobby Margarita's date for the entire day.
Nice.
Is Puffy present in Edmonton, James?
He is not, which is...
Oh, really?
You know,
really?
It's that's
tough.
That takes down the heat level of the
that's what I was
shenanigans
thinking.
quite a lot, as a matter of fact.
Puffy, one of the top
It's a shame. Puffy was a World Junior staple, but somewhere along the way, they decided he could do his job back from...
Brutes.
That's tough.
It's kind of the way the business is going, which is a whole other conversation. But to lose Puffy from the World Junior team was difficult for all of us.
Yeah,
it's like Shane Wright not playing. It's like Shane Wright and Caden Gooley and Owen Power all in one.
It really is.
So, James, you've been an ardent supporter of the LIV Golf Tour. You've already pledged your allegiance. You're a much bigger fan of LIV than the PGA Tour. Of course, I'm being facetious when I say that. You're not a fan of LIV at all. So I am very curious to know your thoughts on one of LIV's top stars, Patrick Reed, and his $750 million lawsuit that he has staged against the Golf Channel and Brandel Chamblee in particular. I'm gonna let you have the floor. Take it away.
Well, I hope they do. I found the whole LIV PGA Tour little court case last week kind of fascinating. I was sort of paying attention half during a hockey game on my AirPods listening to it. I just found it was fascinating that, like, the judge kind of knew everything.
It's great being a host. You'd just be told, okay, so where do you guys want me to lead you?
It was like during, like, Latvia, Slovakia or something. You know what I mean? So it chatted my ears. But it was fascinating because, like, the LIV lawyer didn't know anything about golf, which I just thought was hilarious, trying to do this big defense. And I think this is another one of those cases where I don't know if guys on the LIV tour have been egging Reed on, saying, yeah, come on, Pat, they can't treat you like that, man. Take it to court. Because there's no way he's going to win. Like, he has a zero chance of winning. But I just can't wait to see, like, are they going to play clips of Chamblee absolutely roasting him and all the other commentators roasting him? And then is the, you know, Chamblee's defense and Golf Channel's defense, are they going to play all the multiple
video of
examples
cheating.
Of Patrick Reed cheating, which are, like, so right amazing. There on video several times? So I don't know. I you know why I like it? Because it's, you know, Patrick Reed, I think, kind of embraces a little bit. Maybe he doesn't. That's why he's doing his lawsuit. Maybe he hates all this stuff. But I thought he kind of embraced being the bad guy.
And
we do need bad guys.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the biggest loss with these guys going to the LIV Tour right now is that we've lost some of the guys. I don't know that Bryson's a bad guy, but, you know, there's a lot of people who didn't like. Yeah, there's a lot of people who didn't like Bryson. Brooksy sort of splits down the middle. Where people, you know, some
love
people
and
like
hate.
Them. Yeah, and those are the guys who've all gone. And any good story needs bad guys, right? And it just makes it more interesting. And so I think that's the biggest blow to the PGA Tour that the LIV Tour has dealt is even Poulter, you know, back in the day could be that way. So I think it's going to be hilarious, that court case, but he has no chance whatsoever to win. So good luck, Patrick.
James Duthie is our guest. Let's just play hypotheticals here, JD. Let's say Patrick Reed does win, and it opens up a whole can of worms with regards to athletes suing broadcasters. Which athlete would you be most concerned about suing James Duthie?
I tend not to defame. I think O would have a long list of suitors there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Carlo would be sued by Lonzo Ball quickly. Very good. And
well,
we're laughing about this, but this is really not funny.
You have 3 hours to rip, guys. I try to keep it neutral as much as possible. I'm sure there's guys who've hated me. I'm just I can't think off the top of one who really, really had it in for me. A couple of GMs probably. Maybe Steve Yzerman would sue me.
Wow.
I feel bitter about an interview I did with him after the Olympic selection, which the guys always bug me about. So, yeah, I would say Steve Yzerman would be a top of the Duthie lawsuit, which is
what's crazy.
I love Steve Yzerman.
What's the story with Iserman and the Olympic conversation?
Oh, it was the, you know, I think it was the 2014 team was named, and so I was doing the interview right after. They had this news conference, and he came to us right away. And the big story that year was about Marty St. Louis, because Iserman was the GM of the Lightning, and St. Louis was right on the bubble to make the team, and he didn't make the team. And so I asked Steve one question about the team, and then I got right into Marty St. Louis. And here's the deal. Like, personally, I thought it was probably the right move. Like, it was close, but with the team they had, that St. Louis probably was just to be left off that. But Steve was, he did not like the fact that I'd asked that question. I think he just wanted to talk about the players on the team. And so it got kind of awkward because I had to ask the same question three times. And by the end, and then years later, somebody had told me, LeBron's close to him, told me he was still bitter. So I went down to Tampa. I was doing another story on Cooper, Stamkos or something. And Steve and I had a little tete-a-tete, which was fun. So I think the air is clear. LeBron likes to bug that he's still mad at me after all these years, but who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, so LeBron's not suing you. You don't have to worry.
It was an awkward interview, though, because like Steve kept trying to change the subject, and I was trying to be, I wasn't trying to be like 60 minutes, but I was just trying to say, all I was saying was, you know, how difficult was it to have a guy who's on your own team and a star of your own team? But
hey, man,
he wasn't.
That's why you are who you are, man.
He will likely sue.
You're the best host in all of sports in Canada.
Oh, stop.
And sometimes you got to ask the hard, you got to ask the hard questions, James. Come on.
Of course.
I will say, tomorrow, James, Steve Simmons is co-hosting the show alongside yours truly. I am very intrigued to ask that same question to Steve.
Oh, no.
That will fill at least 3 hours of airtime. All the people who would like to sue him for being
the list goes on. But again, that's what's different. And I'll be straight. I've never been great at confrontation, and that's why a host is probably the right job for me, because I try to stay neutral and let everybody else have their opinions as much as possible. Because I never think it's my place. Who am I in the level of sports that I play to completely rip guys most of the time? So it's more fun to sit there and have the guys in the chairs next to you doing it. And I don't think I think people grossly underestimate, you know, how tough a job it is for a guy like Steve to do that and do that for his entire career. I could have never done it. I couldn't. My skin is far too thin to be able to do it. So good on him.
We all find our paths in life, James, and you found
do
yours,
we?
And Steve has, well, yeah, I guess. Maybe.
Do we?
It's one way to look at it. Thank you for doing this for us so early out in Edmonton. We appreciate it. We'll be watching tonight, 7 o'clock, Canada, Switzerland. Will it be within 5 goals? Tune in and find out. That's some good tease for you guys. You can use that, James.
And just again to reiterate from Overdrive last night, our first golf match out here, O-Dog and Bob McKenzie with a 4-up lead. O-Dog chokes down the stretch. Ryan Rashog and I with the last 6 holes to win the match.
I heard he cheated, though. He dropped the ball.
I did hear Ryan Rashog cheated.
You see, here's a lawsuit. That should be mine for defamation. Wait, I know you got to go, but look, I hit this sparkling drive, and the water is at like 270 or something, and I hit it so well, Rashog's like, oh, I think you're in the water, buddy. So we go up. O-Dog's in trouble, as he was the entire back nine, and my ball is like 10 yards short of the water in perfect position. And so he goes out and defames me, thinking that I dropped a ball from my bag. It's ludicrous. And there you go. There is my lawsuit.
There it is, buddy.
We'll call Eric Macromella, and we'll see if he'll represent you, James.
Diamond.
Yeah, or them. I don't know. Whoever's
Sokolov. Come on.
Sokolov. Yes, our old friends of Sokolov. All right, JD. Thanks, man.
See you, bud.
All right, James Dottie from TSN.